G'day guys, it is the coach and we are talking of our Auric War Clans, but we're not talking about any Warwick clans. We're not talking about the Savage Aurics. We're not talking about Gabe's Big Wug. We are talking all things Iron Jaws, and I have a formerly Elf Bro, now Elite for Fitness. It is Hayden Walker. G'day Hayden, welcome back. Your new identity, it's your new Wug identity.
Oh mate, you hope Gabe's in the chat and make sure he hears that.
we won't tell you why I'm saying that, but Gabe knows that the only way to pronounce the war is Wag with the G. So but we are here, we're talking Iron Jaws, we're talking all things about list tech, talking about how to tap into your book. And I'm sure Hayden's going to talk about Iron Suns and maybe some other builds. I don't know. But for anyone who doesn't know Hayden, do you want to introduce yourself really quickly?
Yeah, man. I've been in and around the hobby back for at least the last, I don't know, 4 years or so. Having a bit of fun, playing a whole bunch of different things. As being the elf bro, mostly elves. But since Lumineth, kind of found the way they play a little boring, so playing some destruction, the best Grand Alliance, right?
Until the kangaroos come. Australia must play kangaroos.
I'm all in. I need 20 of them to go with my 25 Dawn Riders, and I'm set.
If I go to Adepticon, I actually might have to get it and then, like, just play Land Down Under on my mobile phone, just bounce around the table. Like, who cares about the rules? Let's just play with kangaroos. But we're not talking about kangaroos. We are talking about piggies. We're talking about cabbages. And we're talking about all things Iron Jaws. So tell me, Hayden, like, let's get started. I know you've got some pretty cool lists. I want to get into, you know, how you think about this particular army. But set the scene for me. You've got lots of different orcs or aurics.
Yeah.
Why Iron Jaws? What drew you to Iron Jaws? What do you like about the Iron Jaws faction? And, like, sell it to me. Sell it to me why I'd want to get this big cabbage.
Yeah, man. So, one, who doesn't like big cabbages? I mean, come on. Two, I used to play a mixed destruction list back in AOS 1, which was the Stonehorns with Savage Oryx, which you loved that. You loved that army, didn't you?
I mean, like, you know, like when you're running around with Phoenix Guard and someone throws the that stupid, what's it called? The one that ignores your after saves or, you know, your invols. It's like,
oh, Drakfoot, whatever it
was. Yeah, Drakfoot, that's right. Yeah.
Yeah. So Iron Jaws are a lot of fun. They're a really nice army to paint as well. They're really easy to paint as opposed to stuff that are really small and super detailed. You've got a lot of big flat surfaces that makes it easy and fun to paint, and you can do a lot with them as well, which is, well, it's good. So
are they just a painting army?
They are a good fun on the table too. I've never rocked up to a game and seen Iron Jaws across the other side of the table and gone, this is going to be a horrible game, I hate it. You always rock up and go, sweet, Iron Jaws is going to be a hell of a lot of fun. Like, they're one of those armies that everyone gets to play. It's not just one person plays and the other person just sits there and takes their toys off the table as they get dice rolled at them. So
there is some pretty nasty builds, like a turn one charge, and then if you don't screen properly, you can get real punished by Iron Jaws. But you're right. I think if I think about my Age of Sigmar career, I don't think I've ever had a bad game against Iron Jaws. Like, I don't think, like, I've actually ever had a bad game because they're honest. They do what they say they're going to do. And I think Khorne players wish their army did what Iron Jaws did.
Yeah, exactly.
It feels like you do Khorne better than Khorne.
To an extent, yes. Khorne do get a whole lot of other things that obviously Iron Jaws don't have. Being Chaos, they get Summoning, they get all the extra shenanigans that come with, like, Reapers of Vengeance and Tyrants of Blood, all that kind of jazz. They're very similar, but Iron Jaws do have a hell of a lot more wounds most of the time.
And they punch you in the face harder.
Yes. Four Bloodthirsters can punch you in the face real bad.
Hayden, this is the Iron Jaws show. Let's sell Iron Jaws, not Hey. No, look, I don't need to sell them. They are a good army. They're an honest army. They are different ways you can build them. Like, honestly, you don't need to sell them. They are a good army,
yeah, exactly.
And they do well in them. They do well in the meta. You are always going to be in the middle somewhere. You have the ability to go to the top. You do have the ability to suck, but they are a good, solid army.
Yeah, that's it. I know that there was a post that I think it was Vince put up, which was the diagram with the fat middle, like where all those kind of books sit. And Oracle Cleanse was in that fat middle, which is nice. But, again, a good player will take that army and pilot it well. Okay player will sit in that fat middle. You know, it's not a book that plays itself, if that makes sense. It's not Sigma with training wheels.
No, it's not run up the board and, you know, your army wins for you, but you've got the tool. I mean, you've got majority of the tools. You've got some magic, you've got the movement, you've got the combat prowess, not quite in the shooting. And if you want the shooting, you probably want to go into the other side of the orcs.
Yeah.
But you've got majority of the tools. You've got, you know, some cheap bodies, you've got some good ally selections. You've got lots of wounds, good armor saves. Like it's a nice forgiving, and the models are large too, so they're quite a forgiving army to paint as well.
Yeah, 100%. That's it. So, and it's they're like we said, they're one of those fun armies, and you'll never have that bad game. So,
no, I agree. I haven't had a bad game. All right, let's get into the rules, and I want to talk lists. I'm just timestamping. Let's bring up the rules. And Hayden, what I want to know from you, mate, is how do you interpret these rules? Like when I read the book and I'm like, right, it does this. So what? Are these rules good? Are they things that I should consider in my list design? Are they things that I should just ignore because they're traps? So you got a couple of things here, right? So the first things is you're going to be able to get yourself a sub allegiance. You can either,
they're your war clans,
So you've got your war clans. So you've got yourself Bloodtooths, Choppers, and Iron Sons. It was Choppers that caught me off guard. I don't think I've ever looked at the Choppers rules before. I was thinking like they're a weapon profile. I'm like, what? No, so you can choose yourself a sub allegiance of Bloodtooths, give yourself Choppers, or you can go Iron Sons.
Yeah.
How do you the chat the spam bot is having a go at one of the people in the chat because they're all capsing WAG and the bot's just like stop spamming. But when you look at these three, like do you like all three, the Bloodtooths, the Choppers, and the Iron Sons? Or what are your thoughts?
So each have their uses. What was really good is I played at Brizhammer Indestructible a couple of weeks ago, and each of these war clans was represented, which is good because all three are viable. So as when we go into a couple of the lists a little bit later, there's two lists that we go through. One is a Bloodtooth's list, which is my list, and then there's the Iron Sons list, which is the kind of the net list. Choppers, I was having a look through not long ago. One of my good mates actually runs it. It's got a lot of legs as well. And it's like got re-rolling charges if you're within range of a terrain piece in your opponent's territory. You've got command ability, which allows you to pick three units of brutes or pigs. Brutes or Ardboys. With your plus one damage from one war chanter. So one war chanter just starts to go, cool, boop, boop, boop. All three units have plus one damage instead of just picking one. So there's a lot of cool things in Choppers. Personally, I like Bloodtooths the most. I think they're the... So.
Yeah, I don't think I've ever seen Choppers. I don't know why. I think it's just from where I stand, it seems like Iron Sons is the stronger of the build, or at least the one that people perceive as the stronger build. I don't think I've seen Choppers yet, so I couldn't tell you without reading the book what Choppers did as opposed to the others. So what you're telling me, basically what I'm hearing, is that all three are viable options in your opinion.
Yeah, definitely.
The second thing you're going to get is the eager for battle. So you get to add plus one to the charge roll for friendly Iron Jaws. Now, this seems big. Iron Jaws appear to be someone that wants to get into combat. You want to get into combat really quickly. I know when Ossiarch Bone Reapers had Petrifix Elite at their kind of their height, one of the big counters was Iron Jaws just charging into them turn one before they got their, you know, their a whole bunch of their spells and their buffs. So how big is that plus one to your charge, in your opinion?
It's huge, because most of the models in Iron Jaws move 4 inches. Okay, so anything that's generally on foot has a 4-inch move, which most of your movement's coming from charges. Like, you're either running or you're charging. You're not moving very far at 4 inches. The only things that don't are your pigs and your cabbages. Everything else is slow. So you need to get around the board quick. So that plus one to charge rolls is huge.
And I think that's the challenge with some of the builds, right, is that the pigs and the more crushers can be so fast that it can easily get out of your buff ranges. You know, you run outside of your war chanter, it's hard to stay in with the rest of the force. So any way you could bring the troops up and increase their speed. I've seen, you know, fungoid cave shamans with chronomatic cogs. I've seen a whole bunch of ways to, you know, to get extra CP and things. Like, any way you can kind of support those other troops, I imagine, is good. Is there any, and I'm sure there might be other ways to increase the charge or add pluses.
Yes, correct. Yeah. So, blood tooths get plus one to run and charge. So suddenly you're at plus one to run, plus two to charge. If you've got a unit of Ardboys, then you get an extra plus one to charge on top. So then you've got plus, So Ardboys and blood tooths, can get into you real quick, real quick.
Especially when you think about some of those deployment maps that have a very shorter distance between you and your opponent. Like, you can turn one charge, and if you're an opponent who deploys on the line, you're in for a bad time.
Yeah, that's it. And especially because there are teleports in Iron Jaws as well. So you can teleport 9 inches away with plus three to charge. There are ways, and we're about to go into Mad as Hell, which is when a unit takes a wound or a mortal wound in that phase, at the end of it, it can move D6. So you can mortal wound your own units with something like, say, green puke from a weird knob shaman, do one or two wounds to the unit, teleport it. At the end of that phase, it moves D6. So you're moving even closer. You can use the one that you can see next to it in Mighty Destroyers, especially with something like an Iron Fist, which is really, really good. It gives one unit a unit a boss in it, and that boss can get Mighty Destroyers for free once per every turn. So that boss can go, cool, I'm going to Mighty Destroy. So you teleport, then you use Mighty Destroyers, and then you move in the hero phase. So you throw a unit of pigs up 12 inches away, because it has to be outside of 12 for you to be able to move. So you put it on the 12-inch line. Those pigs move 9, so you're suddenly 3 inches away with plus 2 to charge. Or plus one to charge. It can get real scary, especially with like a big unit of 6 or 9 pigs fully buffed.
Yeah, and you know, when you start putting in some of the other things like your Maw Crusher, and when they kill a unit, you know, it can then continue to like be basically like this amazing bowling ball, just like continuing to I can't remember the exact name of the rule.
Attacks. Yeah.
Yeah. But, you know, just to move back to Mad as Hell, I often see my Iron Jaws opponents give away first turn because they're like, cool, you got some shooting. Awesome. Shoot me.
Give me free moves. Yeah, exactly.
Hit me with an arcane bolt. Hit me with some shots. You know, even if you kill one of my guys, I get that free move. And then all of a sudden you're like, oh, wait, I've just given them free move, and more of the army's going to charge, especially when you start looking at some of those core troops. You're like, I'll do some chip damage. I'll force the command point spend on Inspiring Presence. They're like, cool, but now my regular troops, my battle line, are going to move forward, or my piggies are going to move forward. So, yeah. And to your point as well, if you take a battalion, you could get yourself some type of green puke. You could get yourself like the Grave Tide, or, you know, Aether Void Pendulum. You could find a way to do it to yourself to force that forward move before your game's even started.
Yeah, exactly. The one thing you do have to be careful with Iron Jaws, though, is that you are quite low bravery. So if you start killing your own stuff, you're very likely to run away. Everything in the army is multiple wounds. So you don't have these one wound models that you can ping off. You've got Ardboys are 2 wounds, Brutes are 3 wounds, Gorgrunters are 5 wounds. Like, every, so pinging off 1 wound off something isn't too bad.
And you, and you're right. Like, you don't want to be spending your CP on inspiring presence. You know, you want to be able to reroll those charges. You want to be able to use things like Mighty Destroyers. There are things, and that's why you often see something like the Fungoid Cave Shaman is an awesome ally, generating yourself a command point on a 4+ and being a spellcaster.
And
it, so
and 90 points. So.
Yeah, Iron Jaws players are just generally CP hungry. You can never have enough CP for an Iron Jaws player. So. While that sounds like a viable strategy to move your dudes forward, you are at a risk of not having enough command points. But before we kind of move into the other stuff, I want to talk about my personal favorite rule, which is smashing and bashing.
Yes.
If this doesn't get you inspired to start an Iron Jaws army, I don't think what will. Smashing and bashing. So in the combat phase after the friendly Iron Jaws unit has fought, if the attacks made by the unit has resulted in the enemy units being destroyed, you can pick one friendly Iron Jaws unit.
Any enemy unit. It's not all of the ones that you're in combat with as well. That's a good point.
So spill it out to me. So, you know, someone might not connect the dots to this here. So what does that mean by any, and why is that important?
So, especially if you have big units, so say you have a unit of 10 brutes or a unit of 6 pigs, charge in. You can pick out one, so you multi-charge units. So you go, okay, well, I'm going to hit this one big unit, and I'm also going to hit this little unit or this hero. So I'm going to make sure I kill the hero, and then all my other attacks into this other unit. Cool, even if I don't kill it, that doesn't matter. I've killed the hero. I can now instantly pick another unit in combat anywhere on the board and fight with that unit. So you can get 3 or 4 activations, at least 2, but 3 or 4 activations in a row without your opponent getting to activate. So you can wipe out everything you're potentially in combat with without them getting to activate. It's almost like Deepkin turn 3. You just got to be good at picking your activations.
You got to be smart where you move. You got to be smart. And this is where you might be looking for things like, is it the Foot of Gork where you can do some chip damage and kind of reduce, you know, like a unit so you can then kind of charge in, do some additional damage, and then activate something quite strong.
Yeah,
so,
exactly.
I always find Iron Jaws players are just hitting you with a wave. They're not hitting you with one unit. They're trying to hit you with as many units as possible to activate smashing and bashing.
Yeah, and this is the one reason I think Iron Jaws are potentially superior to Big War, because Big War doesn't get smashing and bashing. And with everything going on at the moment in the meta, smashing and bashing is huge. It's good with all the Deepkin that we're seeing. It's good to get around Deepkin. And when one of the games that I played at Brishammer, Deepkin turn 3, I charged one unit of Eels with everything. Left everything on that everything else on that 3-inch mark. So that when they activated, I went, cool, you get to attack me with one unit, and then I get to attack you with everything. And all my pile-ins went then within that 3 inches, and smashing and bashing got me to activate everything before they got to activate that other stuff.
Yeah. Yeah. When you set up a smashing and bashing, it's an art form, and, it is beautiful to see. It sucks being on the receiving end. It's not easy to activate, but when it does, you can do some real damage to your opponent. And that's where you've got to have the CP up your sleeve. You've got to be thinking ahead, right? It's not just, I'm going to charge a bunch of dudes, but I want to activate. I'm going to charge this so I can activate it first, which is going to kick off smashing and bashing. I know the damage output of my piggies. And then you can start to kind of think about it, and then it's just like dominoes falling down.
Yeah, exactly. And then you can go, okay, well, even if I go, I'm going to hit this one unit, make sure I kill this, put all this damage into the next one. And then you've got another unit that's already attacking that unit you just damaged. You can finish it off and then keep going and do it that way and just keep going next, and watch the dominoes fall across the field.
Yeah, and that's where chip damage, especially from afar, because you don't have a lot of shooting. It's majority of magic shooting, and even then it's not a lot. So any way you could do some chip damage to your screens, reduce that damage, then charge them.
Mortal wounds on the charge.
Yeah. And that's the other thing as well, is mortal wounds on the charge. Often that won't be enough to kind of kill a unit, but any way you can do chip damage, just get you closer to smashing and bashing.
100%. That's it.
No, I dig it. I love this rule. It makes me want to play Iron Jaws, and I wish it was like a rule for like squigs doing smashing and bashing. It's like eating and bouncing. You talked about Mighty Destroyer. Is there anything else you want to talk about? Because Mighty Destroyer, again, is a very famous one. A lot of people talk about Mighty Destroyers. It's an awesome command ability, one that you always want to have a CP up your sleeve to be using.
Yeah. So another thing with Iron Jaws can do it from any hero, whereas Big War can't do it.
Mm.
No. So that's why you see a lot of Iron Fists within Big War, because then they get a Mighty Destroyer. Because
within the battalion.
Correct, yeah. So that's where they get their Mighty Destroyer from. Whereas here, every Iron Jaws hero gets it. Your general obviously has a bigger range. But if you're outside of 12, you can move. If you're within 12, you can try and charge. If you're within 3 when you use the command ability, you can fight in the hero phase. So if you already have a Maw Crusher in combat, cool. I want to get it out of combat so it can move. I'm just going to fight in the hero phase. Sweet. And a Maw Crusher fight in the hero phase, and you can still buff, because not at the start of the hero phase either, so you can still get all your buffs off first and then go, cool, now I'm going to fight. And then I can move, charge, and fight again somewhere else.
Another reason why an Iron Jaws player traditionally likes to give away the first turn to go for that double turn, having the Mighty Destroyers, are already in combat, you've potentially done smashing and bashing, and then you just continue the rampage, you kick in Mighty Destroyers, you've got your extra self a CP, and if you're still in combat, you're going to kill what's left. If you're not in combat, you're just going to continue the rampage. So, again, this is why thinking ahead, I got called out by saying smashing and bashing is an art form. It is. Because you can't, it's not doing as a Kang. You're not running up the board, rolling a bunch of dice and showing how amazing you are. There is some very interesting mechanics you need to be thinking about.
That's it. And that's where we said before, a good pilot will do well with this army. Someone who is somewhat newer will not do so well, or they'll come in that fat middle.
So when you think about your list designing, guys, you want to be thinking about getting a CP somewhere, whether it's through a battalion, whether it's through a Fungoid Cave Shaman, whether it's buying a command point, or a combination of both. The more CP you got up your sleeve, the better. Aiden, is that fair?
Yeah, that's fair. And there's definitely ways to get those CP, whether that's through artifacts, whether that's through buying it, like you said, the Fungoid Ally. There's the White Dwarf Battalion, which is the DeBoss Fist. You can get a CP on a 4-up on your Maw Crusher, so long as your Maw Crusher's alive. That DeBoss Fist is a very, very fun list to play as well.
It is match play legal, guys. So we're good.
And it's a bunch of brutes, it's Maw Crushers, it's a couple of bosses on foot, and everyone gets +1 attack. So it's good fun.
I'm gonna make another claim, and you can challenge me. With your Iron Jaws battalions, it doesn't seem like there's a lot of fat. It's not like you have a tax, you've got to take a certain model. It seems like everything, because, I mean, one, there's only so many war scrolls in the army. But two, like, it seems like everything that you're taking in a battalion just fits. It works, and you're not paying for something because you've got to take it. It has a use.
Yeah, that's it. The only one where you really have a tax is the Boss Fist, because you have to take 2 bosses on foot. Which is okay. They're fairly good in combat, but they're 100 and something points each, 130 points each off the top of my head. So there's 260 points there on top of a 220 point battalion, which kind of makes it a bit more of a tax there. But everything else, like your Ard Fist, your Brute Fist, your Iron Fist, all have your battle line in it. And everything except, I think, Ard Boys and units of 10, units of 5, sorry, a battle line.
Yeah.
So you're like, sweet, let's have some fun.
You've got yourself that other bit, that other command ability, which is the Iron Jaw Warg, which is you can use a command. Do you use the Iron Jaw Warg? Because it's quite texty there. A once per battle command ability. So you go once.
Yeah, so it's good to use on that initial go-in to clear as much as you can. So it's from your mega boss, so whether that's a cabbage, whether it's one on foot, obviously it costs a command point, everything in range, you roll a dice, you get plus one for every unit in range. If it adds up to 11, you get one. And then if it's over that, you get plus two attacks to everything within range.
And when looking at the rend, you start looking at the damage, you start looking at, my opinion, Iron Jaws is the most consistent attacking prowl of destruction. Destruction has a lot of damage output, but it's not consistent.
Yeah, exactly.
This is the most consistent in destruction.
Yeah. So these guys hit the best out of any destruction army off the top of my head. I play like Beast Claw Raiders as well with four Stonehorns. They have more multiple damage attacks, but like my brutes hit on twos, wound on threes. Most destruction armies are hitting on threes at best, fours mainly. If your bone splitters, like you're shooting on fives. Like destruction's not your most consistent army for hitting stuff. It's generally bulk attacks. Iron Jaws, you've got a lot of attacks that hit really well. You just don't have a lot of models.
It's a mode consistent, so you'll do consistent damage, and again that helps you plan as a Gargant player, as a Gitz player. It's always really hard for me to understand my damage output and what to expect because it's so random. But with you kind of know. So again, that helps you plan your smashing and bashing because you kind of know the expected damage output from quite a generous hit to wound, the rend, the damage. Being able to get plus one attack or even plus two attack, and the bubble is quite generous, an 18 inch around your general. So whether that goes onto a more pressure,
on big bases too,
literally what I was going to say, if you start thinking about that 160 mil base for a more crusher and then 18 inches around it, that's a massive spread.
Yeah, and because a lot of the time you're moving everything up and your more crusher is going to be in the middle of your army, you're going to go, cool, everything's in range. Sweet.
So with this particular command ability, you like to use it when you first hit your opponent. So that's when you most likely use it?
Yeah, because that way you can clear as many screens as you can and they'll pretty much get rid of the fat and then you're into the squishy stuff at the back.
Yeah, no, I like it. Again, it kind of goes back to the point that you want to have as many CP up your sleeve as possible.
Yeah, exactly.
And Jerome was, asking, would you call Iron Jaws a horde army or an elite army? Definitely an elite army.
Definitely elite army, yeah. Like, I think my list has, 10, 20, 26, just over 30 models in it. I mean,
you're not six models.
Yeah, I'm not six like the Beast Claw, but it's definitely on the low side for models that only count as one for objective play.
Good call. That's a really good call. Your bases are quite large. They're 32s, 40s, 50s.
32s on Ardboys, 40s on Brutes, the big cavalry base on the Pigs. Megaboss on foot comes on 100.
Yeah, that's crazy. Yeah, that it's a bit of a bizarre one.
Yeah. So.
So we're gonna start by somewhere that probably people weren't expecting. Because if you were to look at the internet, if you looked at most tournament lists, you'd probably see Iron Suns as the most popular of the list design. But we're gonna kind of wrap it up, and it's something that Hayden's been practicing a lot. He's been attending some in real life tournaments and having some good success with this. So I thought we'd start off with the Blood Tooths first. And you get much like every sub allegiance, you get yourself a command ability, a artifact, a command trait, and a generic ability.
Yeah.
Are any of these attacks? You're gonna get yourself a plus one to your run and charge. You're going to get yourself a command ability at the end of your combat phase. You can pick one Blood Tooth's unit within 24 of the hero. You can make a move, but it can't run or retreat.
Yeah. So that is fantastic for objective play. Like we're saying, Iron Jaws don't have very many bodies. So if you fight something and kill it, you can use that command ability to go, okay, this unit's going to move now. So it's great if you throw a Maw Crusher in. That Maw Crusher kills everything it's in range with. And for a command point, you go, cool, now it's going to move 12 inches this way. And if I get the double turn, it can then move Mighty Destroyers and then move again and then charge. You can, yeah.
Because you don't want your Maw Crusher or your block of six piggies tied up with like two or three units of models left in a unit. It's just like a complete waste. You want to be charging. That's why as a Gargant player, I hate playing Iron Jaws and I hate playing Beast Claw Raiders because you charge better than I do. And and you've got the movement to take advantage of that, getting into the juicy center of certain armies, being able to get into combat, do massive damage, and then get yourself out as opposed to being tied up and just trying to fight your way through.
Yeah, exactly.
You've also got yourself a command trait. So
which
this one, this one has always been one of those ones that's been debated. Mostly because no tournaments let you play with a Realm Gate. I've never seen a tournament ever say there's a Realm Gate on the table, and you can't bring a Realm Gate. I've never seen a tournament organizer say, because it's not an Allegiance terrain piece. It's not like my Loon Shrine. Yeah. There has to be already a Realm Gate on the table.
Yeah. And so I guess it depends on the event you're going to. Because if there's an event where you bring three pieces of terrain, you suddenly put one of your three pieces of terrain is a Realm Gate, so I'm going to chuck that on the table.
Assuming you can use the rules.
Correct, yeah. I think I was looking through the General's Handbook, and in the General's Handbook at the start, it says you choose from this table to put down. So it's like, okay, well, one of those is a Realm Gate. So I don't know whether that's there. Games Workshop is assuming that you use that table when you put your terrain down, and why that's why you can get a Realm Gate on the table. But in the old book, you've got a Realm Gate to put on with you.
So and you can't buy a Realm Gate with points.
There's no points. There's not anything like that. So, unfortunately,
basically, I just wanted to call that out because people go, "Oh, sweet, free Realm Gate! I'm going to do this and this and this." Just in most cases, it's not going to happen. If you do want to bring a Realm Gate, or you are at a tournament in Australia, there's a bit of a tradition that each player contributes some terrain to the table. Should you bring a Realm Gate, you probably want to talk to your tournament organizer just to ask, "Will the Realm Gate rules be in play?" Yes, there might be a Realm Gate terrain piece. But is it treated as a Realm Gate, or is it just treated as like a fancy looking terrain piece?
Yeah, exactly.
So just don't get yourself mixed up.
Yeah, and it's always the best thing if you have questions, talk to your TO guys, and they're generally really good with helping out. So
yeah, and the beautiful thing about this is if you do get the Realm Gate, you do get the WAG command ability. Sorry, Gabe's literally just in the chat, so I had to call it out. Hey, Gabe, you do get the WAG ability. Sorry, Gabe made a comment on Twitter not long ago saying the G in WAG is silent. So I'm just throwing some salt at my friend up in Queensland. But having the plus
G Abriel.
But either way, like I would love, your orcs don't get a allegiance terrain, so I would love to see in the future that you get to bring a Realm Gate. It's a part of your abilities. It feels like it's something you just don't get to play with. But look, we kind of talked about too much. I just want to set the expectations for anyone like, oh, sweet, free Realm Gate. No.
Yeah, no, unfortunately not. But if you do get that, you get +2 to your WAR roll.
Which is massive.
Which is once per game anyway. So, best thing to do is talk to your TOs. Or if you're playing a casual game, it doesn't matter anyway. Just use it. It's a casual game.
Talk to me about the artifact. You've got the Quick Duff Amulet. So once per battle, you get to cast the Great Green Hand of Gork. And if you do so, it's auto-cast, and it can't be unbound.
So Tough Luck Teclis, Tough Luck all of your... what are they? The Lord,
Nighting Canters. Yeah.
All these things that just go, nope, you can't cast that. Guess what? Too bad. It's going off.
Yeah, the Great Green Hand of Gork is a really potent spell. I've seen it do some serious damage to opponents. It does. What is it? You roll a bunch of mortal wounds.
No, that's your teleport spell.
Oh, I'm thinking about the Foot of Gork, the one that just like stomps on people.
That is your teleport, and it's on it has to be on a mega boss unit, so it's on your Cabbage most of the time. So you now have a wholly within 24 inches teleport on a 160 mil round base. So you're generally picking anything on your side of the table and teleporting it for free.
So with Teclis and Lord Croak and Nagash and all of these supercasters out there, this is a wonderful way of getting around that. Yep. Go, well, I still get my teleport.
Exactly, and which is why in the current meta I like Bloodthirst the most, because you get this and you're like, cool, I can get the stuff I need across the board, and I don't care about your Teclis, I don't care about your Croak, I can just do this and you can't do anything about it.
The chat, by the way, I don't know if you can see the chat here. Yeah, the chat is having a field day asking if we don't pronounce the G in WAG, does that mean Gargants are pronounced without a G? So it's like Argants and Iron Jaws are like, oh, you guys are insane.
Arents.
I can't even. All right. So is there anything else you talk about with Bloodtooth? So do you actually want to, let's get to the list.
Yeah, let's just get into the list. Let's have some
cool. Fun. I think overall, other than the Realm Gate, it's a good set of abilities.
Yeah,
and
it's a big toolbox one, which is what I like about it. So
this list is called Oink and so Boink and Oink.
Boink and Oink.
and what you're going to get is you're going to get yourself a mega boss on Mawcrusher. It's going to be your general, has the command trait of get Dar Realm Gate. That's the one that we get.
Yep.
Blah, blah, blah. By the way, do I have to take Blood Fists? Bloodtooths, Iron Suns, or Choppers? Or
no,
like, is that forced on me?
No, they're not forced on you. There are general ones as well.
Cool. And what are your feelings about those, by the way?
You lose too much not taking one of the three, to be honest. They're really good. If you're going to not take one, you take Big War.
I was going to say, I haven't ever seen a Iron Jaws player without one of the three. So, yeah. You're probably right. Like, if you weren't going to take one, you might as well take Big War. So you got yourself your general, which is the mega boss on Mawcrusher. It's got the Derealm Gate. It's got the Gore Hacker and Chopper with the Quick Duff Amulet. That's the one that our Bloodtooth gives us. We've also got the mount trait. That probably might be a call out as well, is that you're going to get mount traits for your Mawcrushers.
Yep, 100%. And the mount trait, there's two mount traits that I'll generally look at. One is Meenan. I like Meenan because it gives you +1 damage on your Mighty Fists. On your Mawcrusher. So then they become damage 3. You buff with a War Chanter, then you've got damage 4 fists. The other one that you take is Weirden, which is the one that you see most people take, which is a 4-up.
I was just about to ask you about Weirden, because that's a 4-up ignoring spells and endless spells.
Yeah, I just can't roll 4-ups to save my life. So I'm like, well, I'm not even going to risk it. I'll just take them for extra damage.
Yeah, and in the age of the supercaster, that could be quite handy. But there's some good ones in there. Whether it's I've seen a few people using Fasten as well, getting the +2 to the movement characteristic.
Yeah.
But at the same time, like sometimes, especially with Iron Jaws, you've got too much movement. So do you need the extra 2?
Not when you're Mighty Destroying and then moving and then charging. Like you've got a 36-inch threat range, potentially more. And like going into the war beat, so your war beats are like prayers. Get them beat. You can be within 18 inch on a 4-up at the start of the combat phase, the charge phase. Sorry, on a 4-up, you can charge something within 18 inches on 3d6. So you're at on 3d6 +2 charging. So like I was getting 14, 15 inch charges regularly at this event. Because of that and because of the bonuses and just...
And another thing that sometimes you forget is that your Mawcrushers fly. When you look at a Mawcrusher, you would assume that it doesn't fly, but it actually does. So if you get like a super high... just if you get a super crazy move and your opponent hasn't screened properly and they've given yourself enough space to get that big pie plate in, you can jump screens and then start charging through the center because they haven't, charged appropriately. So it's an interesting one. By the way, we haven't talked at the full list, right? You've got yourself the Auric War Chanter. You've got yourself two of them. You've got one with Fix and Beat and one with the Get and Beat.
Yeah, because they can only do one per turn.
Yes, yep. So you can't stack them. It's not like Doors of Cain Prayers. You can do a bunch of things. You got yourself the Auric Weird Knob Shaman.
Who is that? That caster in the list.
Cool. And you got yourself that great big green hand of Gork. Jeez, could they make it any bigger? You then got yourself 10 Auric Brutes with choppers. You've got 5 Brutes with your pair of choppers. You've got 5 Brutes with a pair of choppers. You got 3 piggies and 6 piggies, both with your jagged gore hackers. And it's all wrapped up with a Iron Fist Battalion and the Balewind Vortex at 2K on the nose. And a good question that I will ask you as well is why not Gordrak?
Because you don't get an artifact, you don't get a command trait straight away. You lose the one of the main things that make Bloodtooths good, which is that amulet.
Yeah. Okay.
You lose your auto-teleport. Gordrak at his points is not worth his points. You are better off taking a normal mega boss.
When would you bring Gordrak in? Would you bring him in another version?
I'd bring him in Big War.
Okay. But maybe not Iron Jaws.
I wouldn't take him in Iron Jaws because you lose out on either, if you're taking Iron Suns, you lose out on the Sunblessed Armor and you lose out on too much. But I personally don't think Gordrak is worth his points when there's stuff like Marathi and Alariel. Marathi and Teclis running around at their points, at around the same point value. Like,
and just to call out a question, a comment from the chat, I'm not going to say who it was, but the get and beat does allow you to charge outside of 12 inches. So it actually allows you to charge if you're within 18 inches of an enemy. So so you're rolling 3d6 and you've got a larger charge range with the get and beat.
Yeah. So it gets around that core rule of having to be within 12, which is great as well. So especially because you can't move very fast. So say you're 14 inches away. You're like, oh, you're not within charge range. Yeah, that's cool. I'm 14 on a 4+, I can charge on 3d6 anyway. So,
yeah. Look, it's not. I just think about my prosecutors in Stormcast who can charge 3d6. I'm like, yay, prosecutors! And then I compare them to the big war crusher. I'm like, oh, it's not nearly as good. But talk to me about this combination. Why? So we've already talked about why this is not Gordrak.
Yeah.
Why would you even take a more crusher? Like, why not just take a boss on foot or some other type of combination?
Movement.
Like, let's start there.
Movement. Movement's the biggest thing. You want this thing to be around the table, and because this list fights on two fronts, okay, it works very much like a pincer. You've got your more crusher on one side, and you've got your unit of 6 pigs with the boss on the other. And then you come through, and then you fight through, and then you blast off screens, and then you go, cool, I'm already in your face. You have to deal with me. 2 war chanters, so you can buff both units. You've then got the Shamusic Skull Cape on your Weird Knob Shaman, which is +1 to cast. So you're putting him up on the Balewind. He's then a 2-cast wizard with +1 to cast, +1 to his save, extra 6 inches to his range. So with Green Puke, you're then 2d6 +6 inches. With your Great Green Hand of Gork, it's wholly within 30 instead of wholly within 24.
Talk to me about the puke. Talk to me about this spell. We've talked about it twice, but we haven't talked about it.
So Green Puke, you roll if you've... So the shamans have an ability where if there's a unit of 10 orcs in range, at the end of the hero phase, he can cast Green Puke for free, even if he's attempted to cast it that turn already. Yeah. So Green Puke is draw a line, roll 2d6 and draw a 1mm line straight. Any units that are hit with that line take d3 mortal wounds. So then
it doesn't say friendly, it doesn't take enemy, it just says draw the line.
Any units hit. Yeah. So it's good for going, okay, well, you got at least 8 inches on that puke. It makes it a lot more reliable than just 2d6. Oh, I rolled a 2. Okay, cool. He pukes on himself. So it gives you a minimum distance, whereas because it's random.
So I just wanted to call that out because it's not on your list. So when I'm looking at this going, right, where is it?
That's his War Scroll spell.
It's the War Scroll spell. So your Auric Weird Knob Shaman. Cool. So you got your puke, you got your free teleport within the Blood Tooth, but you've also got yourself the spell anyway. You can't double cast it, guys. You can't cast it on the War Scroll and use your Allegiance version.
No, because it counts. The amulet count says it is cast and can't be unbound. So it is still a cast.
Yeah. So just in case someone's thinking like they can double do it. No, it's just an automatic version of it.
Yes, correct. Yeah. Once per game. Yeah.
So you got your Maw Crusher. It's going to do massive damage. Obviously, we talked about it. It's a, you know, like you just look at the war scroll and you know how good this is. It has a bucket load of wounds. The fact that it can charge 3d6 is just amazing. I always find though that it has less rend than I expected. I think that's probably the only thing that surprises me is that you do mortals on the charge, but majority of the attack profile is like rend one.
So with this loadout, so there's two different loadouts. One, you can give him the, like, on saves of a 6, you take a mortal wound. I'm not a big fan. I think this is a lot of fun because this is a fun list. Turns out it's actually pretty competitive. So with the that loadout, he has 8 attacks from the guy on top and then 8 attacks with the Mighty Fists. So you've got 16 attacks at full profile coming out of that. Guy on top, -1 rend for 2 damage. The Maw Crusher, -2 rend for 2 damage on base, no buffs.
Yeah, and it has 8 attacks. Assuming it hasn't taken any wounds, it's got 8 attacks for the Maw Crusher. Yeah, look, the damage output's good, especially if you do get that 11 or the 12. It's just that to me, the rend 1...
Yeah.
Is it huge? Well,
most things are on a 4-up save, so Ren 1's pushing it to 5s, and then if you buff it with a War Chanter, each one that goes through is 3 damage. So 8 attacks that would Ren 1 for 3 damage, hitting on 3s and 3s. So it's consistent. It's consistent.
Maybe damage. I'm just used to Gargan's doing Ren 3. Like, everything's like Ren 3 now. It's like,
yeah, Ren 3 does only 2 damage, so...
like a million attacks. Cool. Okay, all right. I guess the point I want to try to make there is that when you charge in, you're doing a bulk load of damage, but it doesn't have a big rend. So just choose your targets wisely, I guess, is where I was going with that.
Yeah, exactly.
Like charging into a Phoenix Guard or charging into something with a really high armor save or, you know, your Fire Slayers, you probably bounce because you just don't have enough damage or you don't have mortal wounds.
Yeah, you'll bounce with the top guy, but the Mighty Fist should do a lot of damage, especially with the loadout here, where you'll have 4 damage a pop. So you'll watch stuff melt with Ren 4 damage a pop. So
your War Chanters are there as supports. They're obviously doing different things depending on fix and beat or your get and beat. You've got your spell casting abilities, the teleport as well. What's that artifact doing for you, by the way, the Weird Knobs artifact?
That is +1 to cast, and if they kill a wizard in combat, they get to learn one of their spells.
Has that ever happened to you?
No. He just sits at the back of the board.
Yeah, I don't think I've ever seen a Weird Knob Shaman in combat, especially because you're taking on a Balewind Vortex, so you know like that you're doing that. Let's talk about the Balewind now. So why are you taking the Balewind?
Because the army spreads out so much, having that extra 6 inches to, one, make him a 2-cast wizard because he's only a single-cast wizard, 2, give him extra range on his Great Green Hand of Gort. So from the Skull Cape, you've got +1 to cast, so you're getting it off on a 6 instead of 7, and then you're also wholly within 30 inches. So you can pick stuff up from most places on the board and then move it up to 9 inches away, you know, from enemy units. So you're just picking stuff up and moving it.
Yeah, and we talked earlier at the show, we said the challenge with Iron Jaws is that your part of your army can move so fast that it can get outside of your buffs. It can get outside of your spell casting really quickly. So by getting the +6 inches to the cast from the Balewind, is a really good choice, and it's low cost. It's a very low cost.
And it helps keep your wizard alive too, because you're then getting the +1 of the save. Those shamans have a 5-up save, so that takes you to a 4-up. If your Balewind's in cover, you're on a 3-up. So you now have a fairly survivable wizard. With 6
Can you teleport your wizard? Can you cast the Hand of Gork?
Yes, because the Balewind counts as the model.
I didn't know if you could cast it on yourself.
Yeah, so you can still cast on yourself. So you can teleport the him on the bow wind away as well.
Sweet. So should you find yourself that that 6 inches isn't enough and you need to reposition, you could teleport yourself and
yeah.
That's awesome. That's really
because,
cool.
Because the Great Grahenna Gork isn't a move, it's a setup. So you can't, can't move on the bow wind, but you can set up. So it's the same way that Croak does his Croak-Nado crap.
I just didn't know if you could teleport yourself. I didn't know if it was like choose a model other than yourself.
No, you can.
Cool. You got yourself some brutes. You got yourself 10 brutes. You got 5 brutes. You got 5 brutes. We'll talk about the pickies in a minute. Are they just fulfilling your battle line? Are they bringing to the table?
The two small units of brutes are screens as well as objective holders. The big unit of brutes is a monster killer. So I throw that at anything that generally has 4 or more wounds because they get +1 to hit. So those brutes are hitting on 2s. They have 4 attacks each. So you buff them. They have 4 attacks each, hitting on 2s, wounding on 3s, -1 rend for 2 damage each. So you've got a lot of attacks coming out of a unit of brutes just to throw at monsters. I had 7 of them take down a Mega Gargan.
How are you getting the 2 damage from the brute choppers?
War Chanter.
Or is that...
War Chanter.
Cool. I'm looking at the base profile. And I'm like,
everything's 1 damage, and then you buff it with a War Chanter for 2. So that's what you throw at monsters. So you got a lot of attacks with +1 to hit. You throw it at, I threw it at a troll army, and I took out most of the army with the brutes because they just went, cool. Everything here is 4 wounds or more. We hit on 2s. Because that's their ability. It used to be, I'm pretty sure, +1 attack or +1 damage when it was a characteristic 4 or more. They've now changed that to +1 to hit. So
yeah. No. I just wanted to call that out because some people might not connect the dots, and that, again, that's why we have the War Chanter. Yeah. So no, not at all. Just so people know, like, that's why the War Chanter is in the list. That's why particular setup is important, so that our 10 Auric brutes are going monster hunting with the beat, getting the +1 to hit because of the attack characteristic to 4.
That's it. And they're 3 wounds apiece as well. So that's
4 up armor save.
4 up armor save, 4 attacks each. They can do some work, and there's a lot of wounds in that unit to chew through as well.
There's just no banner, or there's no way to increase the bravery with these guys.
So they're bravery 6.
Yeah. Oh, that's what I was going to say. Is they're bravery 6. So when you start losing 1, you are susceptible to battle shock. So I guess it's the balance of putting all of your command points in, you know, mighty destroyers and the combat stuff, but then still having something up your sleeve, because losing, and this is the same conversation I kind of had with the Skaven guys earlier today, is that you start losing these 3-wound, 5-wound models. Like, I've battle shocked those Gore Grunters off in the past, and that hurts. Like, losing 5 wounds, you know, my Gargans cause terror, so that's another -1.
Yep.
All of a sudden, that could be 2-3 pickies that run away.
Yep, and that hurts, especially in that big unit of 6.
Sinister terrain as well, that can be, you know, really nasty. Yep. So just keep this in mind.
Yep.
Speaking of bacon, let's talk about the – anything else you want to say about the brutes, or do you want to move to the pickies?
No, the pickies are good. So the – we've got a unit of 6 and we've got a unit of 3. So the unit of 3 is there as an objective taker as well as a screen as well, because they move that little bit further, so they're good for picking off those objectives on the other side of the table. There's 15 wounds in that unit, and they're just a good little, side unit to potentially throw at something holding an objective, because 3 pigs will still put out a lot of damage on their own. So... with the Jagged Gore Hackers, they get +1 to hit and wound on the charge. So on the charge, the pigs are hitting on 2s, wounding on the guys on top, hitting on 2s, wounding on 2s. The pigs hitting on 3s, wounding on 3s. So there's a lot of it, and it's a lot of attacks coming out of that unit as well.
And you do mortal wounds on the charge as well.
And you
right?
do, yeah, you do mortal wounds on a 4 up on the charge per pig in the unit as well.
Yeah, you roll a dice on a 4 plus, the unit takes a mortal wound. So
yeah. No, it's not bad.
It's free mortal wounds. If you're charging 3, it could be 2 mortal wounds before we start dancing.
And more crushes are on 5s. Pigs are on 4s. Yeah. So I'm not complaining. So, and in this list, that unit of 6 pigs has the boss in it, so that boss gets an extra 2 wounds, so you have 1 Gorgrunter with 7 wounds, and then the unit also gets that free Mighty Destroyer's move every turn.
Or Mighty Destroyer's command ability every turn. That's coming from the Iron Fist,
correct, yeah.
And what's cool as well is the bravery is 7, so you know for a unit of 3, you'd have to lose 2 pickies or have something cause a -1 before you even have to worry about Battle Shock. So
yeah, that's it. So the piggies are a lot more durable. The only issue with that, though, is that if you're losing 2, you're probably going to lose the unit anyway. Like, yeah.
Actually, I might pull up a question from the chat before we get too deep into the pigs. This is a good one. Why brutes instead of Ardboys? What are brutes bringing to the table, or equivalent, what aren't Ardboys bringing to the table?
Prettier models.
Is that it? Is that literally it?
No, I don't like Ardboys. I think that Ardboys... I wanted to make a list, one, that is nothing like the net list. 2, I think brutes are better than Ardboys. At 3 wounds apiece and bigger damage output. Ardboys, I just think, yeah, they get the banner, yeah, they get the drum, but I find them to die really easily.
I was going to say, every time I fought an Iron Jaws player, I've never been worried about Ardboys. They seem to die by a stiff breeze. When I come against the brutes being 3 wounds instead of 2, they're the ones that I seem to be stuck with a lot longer.
Yeah.
My experience.
Yeah. They also get the Boss Claw, which is -1 rend for 2 damage apiece base. They also get the Gore Hackers, which are -1 rend for 2 damage apiece. So then you've got 2 things in a unit of 5 at -1 for 2. You buff it with a War Chanter, they're suddenly -1 for 3. Like, there's a lot of damage in just a unit of 5 brutes that you're suddenly... And they're 130 points for 5, as opposed to, what, they're 100 points for 5 Ardboys?
So the only argument I'll put in for the Ardboys is the shields. Yeah. So the Auric Forge shields being that whenever you allocate a wound or a wound to the unit, you can negate it on a 6. They're really good. Once you get rid of those shields, the unit goes.
Correct, yeah. But they don't have as much damage output. Yeah, they're a little bit more durable, but their damage output is nothing like the brutes. And the brutes have that innate +1 to hit against big things as well, which the Ardboys don't get.
And by the way, guys, if this is your first rodeo on this channel, this is not the one internet list that rules them all.
Yeah.
You do what you want to do. If you love Ardboys, you put in Ardboys to your heart's content. If you want more pickies, if you don't want to buy the more crusher because it's intimidating and you'd rather, you know, whatever, like or buy do what you want to do.
Run 2 more crushers.
Well, I remember watching Doom and Darkness's, you know, bat reps back in the day where he had double cabbage. That to me is the type of list that I want to run. Double, triple cabbage. Yep. No wonder I play Gargants. Like, no wonder I play Gargants. I just want to run
double cabbage, 12 picks. Do it.
Yes. That is my type of list. It's just getting.